Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
But let me read, and you'll understand what I'm kind of getting to here shortly, but let me read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift. Somebody say gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to talk about this thought. You are necessary. You are necessary. Pastor, pray over this lesson if you would.
Lord, thank you for your word today, and thank you for the great gift.
Amen. Clap your hands one more time. Can we do that? Thank you, Jesus. God bless you as you're seated. Being used of God is a wonderful thing. It's absolutely wonderful. It is a lot of things. It's fulfilling, fulfilling to the person doing the serving, and also to the person being served. It is beneficial to everybody. There is no person involved in true servanthood that is not benefited by the serving that is occurring. There are, you probably heard me say this before, there are three types of servants or givers. First of all, there are those who give and serve begrudgingly. And I think we've all been there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to just tear up the carpet in the church. The carpet's fine the way it is. Why don't I have to? But we do it anyway. Okay? And we even see in the Bible where it's better to serve begrudgingly than to say, yeah, I'm going to do it and not do it at all. So there are those who serve begrudgingly, but at least they are involved. There are those who serve, secondly, because of how wonderful it makes them feel. That is their true motivation. I like the emotional benefits of it. I like perhaps the recognition. I like being involved. It feels good. And perhaps their mind isn't really on other people so much. And that's not necessarily terrible. Even the begrudging giver and servant, that's not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is someone who's just counterproductive to everything that is happening. And then there are those, and this is what we all, of course, want to strive to be, there are those who serve simply because it's the right thing to do. They know that it's going to take a lot out of them. They know that there will be times that they don't get recognition. Now, if you have a need for recognition, that's okay. I'm not talking about egotism, okay? The Bible says give honor where honor is due, and it's beneficial for both parties. Some people don't need it, don't want it. That's okay, too. Now, if we have a need for recognition and we don't get it and we say, I deserve that, you know, we might need to work on that. But if you have that need, well, whenever someone thanks you, just say, thank you so much for blessing me that way. Let them know how much of a blessing it is to you for them telling you how much they appreciate that. So we want to strive to serve because it's the right thing to do. And if we are serving just for the benefits, then we're not truly in it for all the right reasons. Others are benefited in important and unique ways. That is the primary function of serving for others. Okay, one person can bless a lot of people. And of course, if we were to put it in quantitative terms, it's certainly better for many people to be blessed and benefited than for one person to be blessed and benefited. However, it is okay and it is good that serving benefits the server. If you feel good for what you do, you don't have to resist that feeling, okay? Now, if you're getting into ego problems, we'll deal with that. But if you think, man, that is a blessing to me, don't try to get overly humble and say, oh, no, not me. Just enjoy it, okay? It's okay. You know, God made that. If we weren't supposed to be benefited in serving, God wouldn't have made it so, all right? Now, we want to have that kind of balance, but if you feel good in doing something, embrace that. Revel in that. If you feel bad and it didn't go well, someone didn't appreciate what you did, well, embrace that too, because that's a part of it. So it is okay and it is good that serving and being a part of the kingdom is beneficial to you. I say all the time, it's a joy to receive God's word. It's also a joy to give God's word. I like doing this. I do. Okay. I'm happy doing this. You're looking at a happy guy right now. Okay. I'm not telling you I'm doing a great job, but I'm just telling you I like doing this, and it is okay that I'm having a good time up here. If I'm having a better time than you, well, that's a you problem. Let's just put, you know, we'll just leave it there. But you understand what I'm saying here. It's okay that serving benefits everyone. And it should certainly be that way. One of the wonderful benefits of serving is that it brings us closer to God. We learn so much about God. We learn about serving from His Word. We learn about God's people. We learn about individuals. We learn about ourselves. We grow closer to God in doing this. Whenever we see someone grow, pastors certainly know this. You know, when I was evangelizing, you just go one place, you help them reap a harvest, and then you move on. And you just, you know, you do a little bit for a lot of people. And pastors do a lot for a smaller amount of people, and that's fine. And one of the benefits of that is that they see what's happening. They see other people growing in God. That never gets old. Never gets old. I love roller coasters, but roller coasters get old, okay? I love my coffee. But, you know, if I have two cups straight in a row, the second cup is never as good as the first one. That's just the way it is, okay? So some things we get old, we get immure, used to it, accustomed to it. But seeing the benefits of the work we do never gets old. When we see other people growing closer to God, and when we experience that, we feel a closeness to God because God is saying thank you for helping somebody else. Thank you for being a benefit to someone else. Thank you for laying some things aside, for sacrificing, because there's certainly sacrifice involved. Thank you. And we feel that closeness to God, that reward to God. We move further away from the things that are not beneficial. We have greater peace. We have greater faith. When we serve, particularly for the right reasons, if we're not doing it for the right reasons and we're doing it just for the benefits or begrudgingly, we will then our peace in serving will always be contingent on someone else's response, and that's not what we want. We want the peace that we feel, the rewards that we feel in serving, to be solely contingent on the fact that we are serving and, of course, doing better and growing. I'll talk a little more about that. It increases our faith. Some faith we have because we know nothing about it. I'm going into something. I know nothing about this. God, I'm just going to have to trust you. I'm just going to have to jump off the diving board for the first time. I have no clue. Other times we say, I know. I already know what God can do. I already know that God has done this for people. I already know. And so we have confidence in that. We have faith in that. And then we want to have further faith that we can say, I know what God can do, so I am going to continue to see Him do new things. I know that He's going to surprise me again. And He continues to do that. So our faith grows. Our peace grows. We learn so much about ourselves. There is nothing more difficult to work with than a person who fully lacks self-awareness. And I think we've all been there. You know, we try to get through to somebody, or has anybody ever tried to get through to you, and then later on, maybe years later, you think, wow, they were right. I see what they were trying to do. I see what Pastor was trying to tell me when he was asking me those questions. You know, I see he wasn't just trying to lay it all out there for me and just trying to spoon feed. He was trying to help me to grow, trying to help me to see. And we look back on those things and we think, man, I wish I had known. I wish I had been more self-aware. Well, if you want to learn more about yourself, get involved in serving. Do something. Now, if you think you have nothing to offer, I pray to God that that changes by the end of this, because everyone, say it with me, Everyone, I want everybody to do this. Take all 10 fingers and point them at yourself, okay, and say, everyone, everyone is necessary. You are necessary. If you can get by without, I don't want to get by without you, okay? I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose somebody. I don't want to lose out on what you can do. I don't want to lose out on what you can gain. I don't want to lose out on any of that. You are, and I'm trying to make eye contact with everybody in here. You are, did I miss anybody? I got you. Yeah, make sure I get you. You are necessary, okay? You are necessary to the kingdom. God uses all types of people. All types of people. Sometimes we think brother, sister, but we want to think identical twin, okay? We are not all the same. We don't need to be all the same. We are not robots, okay? We are not all leaders. Some people are leaders. Some people are followers. Now, it is true that if you are going to be a leader, you must also know how to be a follower. But the reverse is not necessarily true. If you are to be only a follower, then you don't necessarily have to know what it needs to be, what it takes to be a leader. It's good to respect that. We have to respect that. It's good to have some understanding so that we can appreciate pastor, what pastor does, what assistant pastor puts into this, what our music direction, all that they do. They lead us, and I'm just a follower, but I can still appreciate that, okay? If everybody was the rock star, then nobody would be the rock star. If everybody was the go-getter, we think about people who start businesses. You know, think about the billionaires. Think about the go-getters. And then some people complain, well, they just got all the stuff, don't they? They got all the, and I'm not going to get into that. But, well, if you do what they do to get there, then you can have what they have, at least have a shot at what they have. But not everybody is made to do that. We cannot live in a world where everyone, every single person is trying to be rich. It just won't work. We cannot live in a world where everyone is trying to be the leader. It just won't work. In fact, if you've got two people, I was talking to Brother Landon about this. I think he's going to be he is, and he's making such a great leader. We see wonderful things happening to him. Of course, other people in our church. And I was talking about someone with a similar temperament as him. You know, that strong, good leader, positive type. And I was talking about someone else who has that same type of temperament, and I kind of thought I knew what the answer would be, because they were an evangelist and they visited. I said, "How'd you get along with that person?" They said, "I didn't." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Tell me about your interaction." We said, "We just had to understand that he's going to do his thing and I'm going to do my thing." Well, sometimes that's the case, because if you get two very strong leadership types together, it's going to be like this. It's going to be like, you know, the two northern sides of a magnet pointing together. They're always going to repel. Sometimes we have to work in that situation, give up our role for a while. We understand that. The point I'm making is that everybody's different. Everybody is unique. Those who like to influence others. There are some people who really like to influence or control others. And if that's your temperament, you'll always be like that. Okay? You'll always be like that. If you are the kind of person, "I like other people to be in charge, that's the way that I am," God made you that way, okay? If you're the opposite, God made you that way. If you kind of go back and forth, sometimes I like to be in charge, sometimes I like to follow, God made you that way. Any introverts in the house, okay? No introvert right here. I am not an introvert, okay? I'm not as extroverted as some people are, but I will always be that way. Now, if we behave in ways that are due to upbringing or to experiences in our life or even to trauma, because some of our behaviors are, you know, trauma responses, that can be resolved. That can change, and sometimes it needs to change. Sometimes even good things can grow out of the negative experiences, okay? But those things can change. But your temperament, who you are in that regard, that's who you are essentially for the rest of your life, and that will be unchanging. Okay? I won't take a whole lot of time to talk about that, but the point is, you know, if you always want time to yourself every day, I've got to have time to myself every day. You will always be like that. So don't let someone else say you just need to change. You need to come out of your shell. Well, maybe in some ways, okay? And introverted doesn't mean shy. Those are two different things, okay? But if you need that, that's okay. If you don't like to lead, if you are not comfortable with it, if you feel like that is not me, that's not what I want to do, that is okay. Now, sometimes leaders in our lives can see things in us that we don't see. I understand that, okay? But there are some things that are simply not going to change about us. I don't think I will ever be a pastor. I don't have the heart for it. I just don't. I have a heart for ministry, but what pastor does, you know, God bless you, you know? He puts up with what? You people do what? You gotta, what? Are you serious? Now, I'm one of those people, so, you know, it's okay, all right? You know, that's not who I am. Be what God made you to be. Now, we're going to work on it. We're going to chisel away. We're going to hone things. We're going to do that. But let me tell you something about introverts. Introverts make great thinkers. Great, great thinkers. Me, I just share whatever comes to the top of my mind. My wife is very introverted. She will take her time to think about something, form an idea, and give it a lot of thought and put it all together. And then when she comes to whoever that might be about this thought, you know that this is something that has been really polished. This is something that has been examined for a while. I will share something that I thought of 2 minutes ago or less. Ain't that right, Pastor? I just thought of this 3 seconds ago. Let me share it with you. This is the best I did. This extrovert, okay, that high energy, okay? And sometimes it hits. And sometimes it misses, and other times it misses. And then other times it misses. It also misses sometimes. Okay, you know, you understand what I'm saying here. All right? That's okay. That's okay. Whatever you are, you be you. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Particular. What does that mean? Different. Individual. Different purposes. Okay, I do not scratch my ear with my elbow. It is impossible. Okay, I'm a little bit, you know, I've always been a little bit flexible, but I can't do that. All right, well, I could once, and that would be it. You know, I would never be able to use that arm again. You know, there are some functions that only you can do. Okay, I cannot do it like you. I don't need to do it like you. Only you can do. And I talk about temper, but I'm not just talking about temper. I'm talking about gifting, things that we learn to do, things that we learn about, things that we pick up along the way. We are all individuals. If you don't know your place in the kingdom, hold on. We'll tell you how to get there, okay? We'll do that. But the church and the individual lack and suffer needlessly when we do not serve with the gifts that God has given us. I think that we as a church go through things and experience things and miss out on things that we just don't have to because someone was maybe afraid, maybe took a wrong approach, maybe just didn't know, just didn't know. Really? I can do that? I can do something? Huh, I never thought of that, right? And if you're wondering if I'm talking about, yes, I am talking about you, okay? I'm talking about all of us. This applies to every single person in this room. People who think they have less, who think they have less. Now, maybe in some ways, I have less of some things. You got more of something else. It's all different. We understand that. But people who think, who are convinced, I only have less, I only have a little, they are less likely to serve. Now, Jesus shared this wonderful, you know, psychological understanding when he told the parable of the 10 talents, or of the talents. One servant was given 5, one was given 2, one was given 1. We know what the first two did. They doubled it. They put it to use. Now, he did it according to their several ability, okay, what they were capable of doing. It didn't mean that someone is better off at one thing. Now, these are just talents. Maybe they had gifting with other areas of their life that the person with only 2, maybe he was better at something else than the person with 5, okay? But the point is that when it comes to this thing, the Lord knew what they could handle. He understood that. And so he gave the 1 5, the 1 2, the 1 1. And so the one with five said, I doubled it, and here's 10. The one with two. Sometimes we think, wow, I wish I was a five talent servant. I'm just a two talent servant, you know, or I'm just a one talent servant. Well, again, I like to think logically. Let's do it mathematically. 5 became 10. 10 divided by 5 is 2, okay? All right, the 2 talents became, it doubled, okay, 4. 4 divided by 2 is 2. And if the 1 would have done the same thing, 1 doubled to 2, 2 divided by 1 is 2. We are not nearly as different as we so often want to think that we are. We're not. We think, I'm just this, I'm just that. I've used this example before, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to get a little crowd participation in here. I'm going to give you a sequence of numbers, okay? And if you've heard this before, if you know the actual answer to this, then you can wait. But if you've not heard this, I want you to try to guess that if you're willing. So I'm going to give you a series of numbers. I want you to try to guess or figure out what the rule is for this sequence of numbers. Okay, here's the sequence. 2, 4, 8. Now I have a rule for that sequence. One rule. 2, 4, 8. Does anyone want to try to give me a sequence of numbers that they believe fits my rule? Anyone want to try? Anyone want to try? Okay, 16. Okay, well, take 3 numbers. So start wherever you want and maybe end up at 16. So that's fine. That's okay. Well, and what you're saying is you would say, what about 4, 8, 16? Is that okay? That fits my rule, all right? Anybody want to try one? You could try starting with a random number. Start with 3. Anybody want to take a guess what the, you know, what a sequence that would fit my rule? 3, 6, 9, okay, that fits my rule. Somebody said 3, 6, 12, that fits my rule. Anybody, how about this? 1, 2, 3, that fits my rule. 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, that fits my rule. Has anybody figured out the rule yet? It's very simple. The rule is that the numbers are increasing. That's all. But when we heard, and I did the same thing when I first heard this, when we heard 2, 4, 8, I know what the rule is. You have to do it this way. This is the only thing. That person that has all the talent, that's the rule. That person that plays the piano so well, that's the rule. That person who just learned the guitar in a year, wow, that's the rule. That is not the rule. We only have one rule when it comes to serving in the kingdom. Just get better. Just get better. If you're starting off with 1, you'll get to 2. If you're starting off with 5, you'll get to 10. Okay? Now, I can guarantee you this. Those servants, not all of them progressed at the same pace. We don't know the time frame there. Okay? The one with 2 may have gotten to 4 long before the one with 5 got to 10. We are all different. So whenever you think you know what the rule is for serving, I'm not as good as them, I can't do this, I'm incapable, or I know my limitation. It's okay to know your limitations. That's fine. I have a limitation, therefore I don't fit. My friend, God has a work for you. God has big things for you. We do not grow and serve by comparison. We don't. That's not what we do. We serve and grow according to what God has put in us, okay? And it's not even our ability to begin with. And, you know, with me, the way that I served for many years in children's ministry, I'll be honest, what I did, that grew out of trauma. It did, you know? That hyper, that energy, that manic, that get, you know, was a result of mental health issues that gave me that high energy, and God used that. God can use anything. He can use what is messed up about us. He can use I'm not talking about sin. You understand what I'm saying? He can use what is natural about us. He can use what we have learned. He can use what we have gotten wrong, the mistakes that we have made. God can use all of it. And so often, we fear moving forward or moving on to something different. Some people have a greater fear of the unknown than others. I understand that. I can guarantee you I understand that, and I have no criticism of that. If you are more afraid or more concerned with doing something new than someone else, maybe someone else who's never served anyway, the first time they get a chance, they just dive in head first. Oh, good for them, okay? Me, I take my time. I'm nervous. I'm scared. Okay, that's fine. That's okay. No self-criticism. So let's work with what you've got. Let's maybe talk about, why do you feel nervous? Why are you that? But it should not stop us from moving into doing something new, something beneficial, something different. How do we recognize the gift that is in us? How do we know exactly what it is that we want to do? Well, you know, how it is that we know a, it could be the way, it could be a way, because we're capable of more than one thing. How do we know how to find that? Well, it takes the three D's. Number one, desire. If you don't want to serve, you're probably not going to serve. If you don't want to be involved, you're probably not going to want to be involved. A young lady, we were talking about being called and serving, and she said, how do you know you're called? And she was eating a burger. I said, how did you know you wanted that burger? She said, I was hungry for it. I said, that's how you know. You just want to do it. You see things, and I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes it is the excitement of seeing someone in the pulpit or on the in singing or up front, but sometimes you just, there's just something there. I want to do something. I'm feeling antsy in church. I come to church and that's good, and I'm doing things. And if your gifting is working in the altars and nobody ever knows about that, God bless you. You are doing wonderful things. I'm not even talking about doing something that people will recognize, that you will even be seen for, at least not in this life. But you simply want to. Something is in my heart. Something is there. I don't really understand it. I don't really get it. I'm telling you, my friend, give into that. Go with that. Follow that. Okay? Don't be worried about how it's going to turn out and how it's, you know, just follow that desire. Second, demonstrating, doing something. The old illustration, you cannot turn a car if it's not moving. Okay? You can only point a car in the direction that it needs to go if it is moving, if it is doing something. If our desire is just to have a position, now we can still have good desires, still have good intentions, and still say, oh, I just want to be in charge. I just want to be that, and I want a position, and I want to be elevated, I want to be promoted. Both things can exist at the same time. But our heart needs to be the true motivation. So demonstrating, well, what do I do? Okay, well, go to someone and tell them you're praying for them. Come to the altar and say, God bless my brother, help my sister, put your arm around them. And then when God sees, they're willing, now he already knew, you understand what I'm saying. When he sees that willingness, he's going to start dropping things into your spirit. You're going to go to someone because I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go say, I'm just going to pray for, I'm just going to say something kind. I'm just going to say, I don't know. You are eventually going to come across someone and say something to them. You might feel it, you might not, but they're going to say, oh my God, you have no idea how much I needed that. You have no idea how specific that word was for me. You have no idea. That will happen. And we've all experienced that in receiving and giving. And so when we just do, I don't step out and worship as much. Okay, today I'm going to step out a little bit further. And it's not the aesthetic of having a church full of, you know, people jumping around so it looks good on camera. It's not that. It's I'm stepping somewhere where I'm not comfortable doing. I'm not behind the pulpit right now. I feel a little bit nervous now. Okay, all right. What do we do? That old, nice, cheesy phrase, step out of our comfort zone. Okay, we did that. That is faith. That is demonstrating. And what did James say about that? Okay, James 2:7. Faith without works is dead. If I gave you that wrong thing, I apologize for getting you wrong. But the scripture I'm going for, faith without works is dead. It doesn't exist. I talked about this in one context a few weeks ago. If we say, I believe I can do all things through Christ, but I'm not going to try, then you don't really believe, do you? You know, we have to do something. That's what true faith is. Matthew 7 and 7. Ask, that's the desire, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall, there's doing. People say, ain't got to do nothing. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Seek, look, go out, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. What's on the other side of that door? No idea. Can't tell you. That's all you. That's all you and Jesus, and maybe some pastoral involvement, okay? But you know, but we do. We are demonstrating. We show, and we're not just showing God. Sometimes, leadership in our church, pastor, others are going to say that they want to do something. They're not concerned about a position. They just want to do something. Hey, Brother Jake, could you help me out with this? We've been needing some help in this department. Can you do that? You remember when somebody first came to you and said, hey, I want you to be involved in this. You're like, really? Oh, cool. I get to do something. We just feel so. And it wasn't because we were talented. It's because they saw a servant's heart in us. Okay. I read a quote recently by Brother Tenney. It said that God will promote you if you humble yourself. If you insist on doing God's job for Him, He will do your job for you. Okay? So if we seek that promotion, that's not how we get there, but we humble ourselves. How do we do that? We do things just because it is the right thing to do. Not to get noticed, but because somebody's going to get blessed. I'm going to bless somebody today. I'm going to make somebody a little bit happier today. And the third D, dedication. It takes dedication. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit. Commit. Everybody say, I am committed. Someone said, marriage is an institution, and I'm committed. That's right. We are we are committed in a good way to thy works. If we commit ourselves, dedicate, this is who we are. This is who I'm going to make it a part. It's not going to happen overnight, okay? You're going to get it wrong. I'm going to get it wrong, okay? Before the day is over, I'm going to get something wrong. You know, I've already gotten one part of this message. I gave her the wrong number. I got something. That's okay. We move on. We're going to get it wrong, but am I going to commit any less because I said, James, something else or because I didn't? No, I'm not less committed because of that. I'll deal with that. I'll be a little more sure, double check things next time. But when we commit, thy thoughts shall be established. Ooh, mental health benefits. Oh, hallelujah. Thy thoughts shall be established. I'm going to think the right things. I'm going to have the right kind of viewpoints if I dedicate myself to the Lord. Commit your works, yourself, to the Lord, and He will establish your thoughts. And let me leave you with a few thoughts on the notion of gifting. Gifting changes. It does. I've been involved in children's ministry since the 1900s, and about 36 years ago was my first involvement in that. And that's changing. Okay, that is changing, and I won't get into that right now. It's changing for very specific reasons. It's changing for very good reasons. Okay, and sometimes when gifting changes, we have to kind of mourn the loss of what we used to do. I used to evangelize. I loved it. I loved traveling around. Now I don't anymore. Man, I miss getting on that airplane. I miss going to. I miss being the celebrity. You know, when you're there, because you know what it's like when you go some. When you evangelize, that you're kind of the guy, if you're a special singer at a conference, Sister Annabeth, you're the one, you know, let's just be honest, okay, and some people don't like that, that's fine, but whether you like it or not, you know, maybe you do miss that, and I miss meeting new people, I miss seeing hundreds of people get the Holy Ghost a year, I miss that, okay, and so I have to say goodbye to some of that, and that is hard. It's okay that it's hard. It's okay. It's okay that moving into something else after you've been alive for half a century is difficult. It's okay. Gifting changes. What you do now may be fully different in a year, in 10 years, in 20 years. That's okay. Embrace that change. Also, focus on do more than do not. I know we got an episode 5 vibe just then, but you know what I'm saying, okay? Focus on do more than do not. Here's what I mean. Skiers are taught, do not tell yourself, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree. Don't, because you know what they're going to do if they keep saying that? They're going to hit the tree. That's what's going to happen. You know, Georgia the jungle, watch out for that tree. That's why he hit the tree all the time, because he was saying, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree. Okay? If your child is carrying a plate of food, it's a little precarious, and you tell that child, don't spill it, don't tilt it, don't spill it, you know what they're more likely to do? To spill it, you know? So, whereas if the skier says, aim for that spot, aim for that spot, aim for that spot. If you tell the child, you're doing good, keep it upright, keep it level, keep it upright, keep it level, do this, instead of don't do that, don't do that. Some people their entire life was don't do that. Now, don't get me wrong, there can be 1,000 ways to not do something and only one way to do it right. So we need to focus on how to do it right. What can I do? Okay, not, you know, I've joked with Brother Jake a couple times right before he preached. I say, don't mess up. And, you know, that's just he and I. We can do that. And I'm just trying to help him. I'm just experimenting and seeing how you would react to that. That's what that is. And right, don't mess up. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, he's going to say that to me the next 2 times I do before I say, don't mess up, you know. But that's what we do. Sometimes we focus on, but I can't. What did Moses focus on? I can't talk wrong. I don't need to talk wrong, okay? Whereas God said, just talk. I made your mouth to begin with, okay? Just do it. Say it in a positive way instead of saying, I don't want to say the wrong thing to somebody. I hope I don't say the wrong thing to somebody. I hope I don't say the wrong. Just say, I hope I say the right thing. God, help me to say the right thing. God, help me to say the right thing. Help me to do the positive thing. Focus on do more than do not. And also, and I've talked about this a little bit already, this may seem counterproductive, but it is so true in so many aspects of our life. Embrace discomfort. Embrace discomfort. Not anywhere in the Bible does it say we should be fully devoid of all stress or fully devoid of all things. Now, it does say that sometimes some things we feel are out of place. When the children of Israel were in front of the Red Sea, God said, this is not time to be afraid, okay, because you're about to be delivered. They just had the wrong information. If we're feeling the wrong thing or we shouldn't feel what we're feeling, it's either because we have the wrong information or the wrong attitude. And in that case, they had both. And so, you know, but if we feel nervous about doing something new, you know what that means? It means you're excited about it. It means you're glad to be doing it. It means it's important to you. And if we say, I got to get rid of the stress, I got to get rid of it, resist, well, first of all, and I won't get into this right now, but all unprocessed emotions stay and never, ever go away until we process them, okay? That's a story for another day, okay? But if we're always, no, can't be stressed, can't, too blessed to be stressed, no. College students have asked me, Uber, sometimes they'll ask me if I do something else. I tell them what I do, and they say, oh, what do I do about being stressed? I say, be stressed, okay? If you're stressed, there's a reason for it. And guess what happens with discomfort, with stress? It goes away. It really will go away, all right? It will do that. So if you are nervous about doing something, here's what Philippians 4:13 says about that, as well as a lot of things, okay? I can do what? All things through Christ. I can do all things through. What about being stressed? Yeah, you can do that. What about being uncomfortable? Yes, you can do that. So if we think I have to be fully at ease with this, if we think I can't have stress, what makes you think you're incapable of handling some stress? What makes you think that you are unable to be sad, to be nervous? My friend, you can handle that. My friend, you can do that. But when we push it away, can't be stressed, can't be afraid, we will lose that battle every time. Even if it goes away for a little while, it will come back in some form. So embrace it. People think, you know, joy is the absence of sadness, and it's not. Even in our grieving, in our sad times, we still know there's some joy there. The joy is much bigger and fuller than everything else, okay? But if you're nervous about doing something, I'm glad you're nervous. I really am glad you're nervous, because if you just didn't care about it, you would have no feelings at all. Even the people who are jumping head first, super excited, I guarantee you, they are experiencing that heightened awareness, higher heart rate, the quicker breathing. They're just putting it into the form of excitement. They're just putting it in, they're dealing with it, they're letting it flow. So whatever discomfort you feel, that's okay. Do you feel afraid? Well, if it's blocking you from doing what you're doing, that's got to change. We understand that's got to change, okay? We need to change our information, change our attitude. But if we're talking about just a feeling of discomfort, that's okay. God never said that I'm going to use you to do great things and I'm going to make sure you feel perfectly at ease with all of it at all times. I have not read that scripture, okay? If you've read that scripture, I want you to show that scripture to me, because I want to read about it, okay? And lastly, stand with me if you would. Lastly, continue getting better. Keep getting better. As one little bluefish said it, just keep swimming. You know, keep moving forward. Keep getting better. I'm sorry for humble bragging, but I don't like not being good at something. I don't like it. I don't like it. When I started work with younger children on the autism spectrum a few years ago, I was not good at it. I did not like not being good at it, okay? But I don't claim to be awesome, but I did get better at it, okay? Sometimes we regress a little bit. Sometimes we falter. Sometimes we get a little lazy, you know, or a lot lazy. We do that. But overall, if we can say, you know what, I wasn't that great at that. I wasn't as much of a prayer warrior then as I am now. I wasn't as much of a blessing as I am now. All things. I don't play that instrument. I play that instrument better now than I did back then. I do that. Keep getting better. Don't be overly concerned with how fast you're getting. Just do the thing. Just do the thing. My grandmother taught me the best way to learn an instrument is to fall in love with it. Just love. I love encouraging people. I love talking. I love doing these things. And I hope that I can get better. I'm not going to brag, and say, I'm not interested in that, but I'm also not going to apologize if I am improving. And I see that so much of that across this church, people who are better at things now than they were some time ago. You're not just a blessing to yourself. You're a blessing to others. Can we lift our hands and ask God to put this in our hearts, to help us to be an encouragement to others, to help us to serve, to help us to get better, to help us to embrace discomfort. God, help us to be these things, Lord. Help us to run into the unknown with you by our side, showing us that we can do all things through you. We're not doing this by our own strength, God. This isn't my own. This is all you, God. I don't have to be confident in myself, God, because I am confident in you, Lord, in what you've given us, in the calling you've placed, God. And I pray that this desire grows in the hearts of all my brothers and sisters, God. Show somebody today just how necessary they are, just how important they are, just how much we need them in the kingdom. Hallelujah. We need you.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.